took a road trip, you might just happen into Willow Creek, a suburban neighborhood in By Jove, North Carolina. If you happened to enter this neighborhood, you might ask someone where the main attraction of this area was. They would almost certainly tell you to head to the park and see the top of the league's little league baseball team, the Willow Creek Technics, playing a ball game. You would go and look, of course, but the field only had a coach pitch team doing ground ball drills. The Willow Creek Park not only has the best baseball teams, but it also has a creek. If you went down the path to the bridge, put on your water shoes, and entered the creek, you could take a short walk to a simple plank bridge. On the right side of the bridge were the Campbells. On the left were their best friends, the Brysons. If you went to visit the Brysons, 9-year-old Matthew would show you his newest pitch, probably a curveball or changeup. 7-year-old Caleb would show you his invention, and 5-year-old Finley would tell you all about the highlights of her day. Matthew loved sports. He did well in school and enjoyed maths and reading, but he liked sports best. He played baseball, soccer, and touch football. Caleb was a scientist. His best friend was their dog, Sneaker, who helped him with his inventions. Finley was a cheerful kid. She played baseball, like Matthew, but liked to listen to Caleb talk about the finer points of his inventions. She liked it when she did things right, and she always wore her hair in pigtails. The three siblings lived with their parents, Anne and David, in a two-story house in Willow Creek. I am here to tell you about them. Bryson School, Part 3. If you have not listened to the first two episodes of the Bryson School, if you go to the top of the screen and to the bar at the top, there's a tab that says Episodes. If you click on that, you can scroll down and listen to the first two parts, which are labeled the Bryson School Part 1 and the Bryson School Part 2. They're needed for context. If you enjoy this part or enjoyed the previous parts, please be on the lookout for the 4th and 5th and 6th installments about the last 2 days of the Bryson School and Parents Night. Alright, this is the Bryson School Part 3. Finley woke up on Wednesday morning thinking of her class's big project. At the performance on Friday, David's class would be playing a game of basketball. Finley had been nominated by the class as a team captain, and she and the other captain, Skylar Dahware, would select their teams today. There would also be a show of student work. Groups of three would work together on presentations to show the parents, and of course the band concert. Finley had been practicing the two pieces they had been given, Victory and The Attack of the Walrus. David had taken them shopping the day before. They were supposed to wear black dress shirts and pants, black ties, back belts, and black shoes and socks. They all looked very spiffy. Finley threw the covers off of her and pulled on some clothes. She ran into the room the Brysons used as a music room and played her snare drum as quietly as she could so she wouldn't wake her family. It was still loud enough to wake the dead, though apparently not Caleb, whom Finley could hear snoring from his and Matthew's bedroom. Finley ate her breakfast, brushed her teeth, and packed her bag. Caleb woke up in time to catch the bus, but had to eat on the way to the bus stop, and Matthew and Finley had to pack his bag for him. They got on the bus and rode to the community center. Finley joined the line that was going to the playground. On the playground, Finley and Jake played on the swings. They played a game where they gave each other addition problems and had 5 seconds to answer. For each correct answer, they got a point. 5 plus 7, Jake began to count to 5. When he got to 4, Finley yelled, 12! I think that's right, Jake added on his fingers and then gave Finley a wood chip. That was how they kept score. 6 plus 2, Jake began counting. 8. 4 plus 6. 10. 5 plus 9, 13. Jake thought about Finley's answer. No, it's 14. My turn. Finley thought of an addition problem. 7 plus 14. Jake's eyes widened and it took him 4 seconds to answer. 21. That's right. It was then that David blew his whistle. Jake and Finley counted their wood chips. 12 for Jake and 11 for Finley. They dropped the wood chips and ran to join the line. When Anne's class arrived at their classroom, Anne announced they would be skipping their math time to be working on what they were doing for their project, which was technically math. Okay, class, Anne stood at the front of the room. I have decided that for our project we will be doing an educational bee. Clayton, do you have a question? Yes, is that like a spelling bee? Yes, said Anne. An educational bee is like a spelling bee crossed with a math competition crossed with a history bee. Basically, I will ask you guys questions about anything. They won't be too hard. Whoever gets the most questions correct wins. We will be using buzzers, and I've selected teams for you guys. We'll have 4 teams. Team 1 will be at this table, will be Matthew, Ava, Connor, and Will. Team 2 will be over here, and will be Max, Jake, and Sophie. Team 3 will be over here and will be Jessica, Joshua, and Clayton. The last team will be at this table and will be Scott, Isabel, and Lily. I want you guys to go to your tables and choose team names. Matthew met with Ava, Connor, and Will. They decided to be the Tigers. The other teams were the Rockets, the Sharkers, and the Cucumbers. Matthew thought that Max and Jake had been in charge of the cucumber decision. Next, I want you to choose team captains, said Anne. This will be the person that says the answer on bonus questions, so you'll want someone loud. Matthew nominated Will, who'd been on the academic team at Elm Ridge Elementary the last year and had been pretty good. They all decided on Will. Connor's team? Anne asked. We chose Will, Matthew said. Very good. Clayton? We chose Jessica. Scott? We chose Lily. And Sophie's team? Max. Great! Anne decided they should go over how the matches worked. You will be read a toss-up question. Whoever presses the buzzer first will be allowed to answer. If they get the answer wrong, the other team may answer. If they get it right, they get a point. You may not talk during toss-ups. If you get a toss-up correct, your team will get a bonus. You talk about the answer, and when you have reached a decision, the captain will say the answer you agreed upon. You will get 2 points if it is correct. If it is not, the other team may steal. We will have 2 preliminary matches per day. You will be put in rankings based on how many games you won. The first place and third place teams will play each other in front of the audience in the second and fourth places. The winners of those games will play each other. Whoever wins that game is the champion. And the Sharkers and Cucumbers, you guys are going to play now. Captains, select one other player to go up to the front with you. Max and Sophie went up to the front, as did Scott and Lily. They each chose a seat at one of the 2 tables. Anne had them do a buzzer check, in which they pressed all of their buzzers to make sure they were working, and then they started the team question match. Question 1, said Anne. Who was the United States' 3rd president? Scott pressed his buzzer slightly before Sophie. Scott, what is your answer? Thomas Jefferson. That is correct. A bonus for the Sharkers. What fruit has seeds on the outside? Scott and Lily discussed before giving strawberries as their final answer. That is correct. Toss up number 2. What is 36 divided by 4? Max, what is your answer? 9. Very good. Bonus for the cucumbers. What is the only planet that spins clockwise? Max had the answer almost immediately. Venus. Did Caleb tell you that? He gave me this question, said Anne. Max nodded. The match went on. There were several very hard questions, such as which is hotter, the Earth's core or the outer layer of the sun, and some easy questions. The cucumbers ended up winning by just a few points, and the Tigers got to play the Rockets next. Matthew got several good answers, and his team ended up winning by a little bit more than the cucumbers had. Then it was time to go to band. David took the trumpets and clarinets into the hallway to practice a tricky part in the Attack of the Walrus. Anne directed the class, and Jen stayed in the back by Scott to help him out, because he was having some trouble with the low F in Victory. The band started out playing some scales and then the short pieces they had been playing. Then they got a new concert piece, the Arctic Symphony. That one wasn't too hard, and they worked on it for a little while before practicing their other two pieces. Can we have the melody, that's the trombone, the baritone, the bass, and the recorder, play in measure 15? Anthony, will you play with them too, please? 1, 2, ready, go. Caleb focused on his slide positions very carefully. 4, 2, 6, 1, 2, 6, 4, 1, 4, 2, 6, 1, 6, 4, 4, 1. Caleb, are you playing an E on the 8th note? Caleb nodded. That's going to be E flat, the 3rd position. Will you play that for me? Caleb nodded again and put his trombone back up to his lips. He made sure to play 3rd position. That sounds very good, Caleb. How about you make a note of that E-flat with your pencil? Caleb picked up his pencil and drew a flat sign by all of his E's. Anne continued asking Anthony about a Devisi he was having a little bit of trouble with. David took his students to the gym next. They had to get ready for their basketball game. So, this is how it's going to work, said David. We are going to be doing a mini-season here in the next few days. We'll have an hour of practice, and then a half-hour game today, tomorrow, and Friday. We'll have a 60-minute game Friday evening. Right now, we're going to pick teams. Finley and Skylar were nominated as the team captains yesterday. Skylar, you may pick first. Pick 2 people. I suppose I'll pick Dash and Ridley. Dash and Ridley join Skylar on one side of the court. Finley chose Caleb and Jake, and then Skylar chose Alfie and Alexis. Finley chose Anthony and Tommy. Skylar decided on Evie and Annie, and Luca joined Finley's team. We will have 5 people playing at once in a game. Finley's team will be the... David pulled a blue uniform out of the box. The Badgers. Skylar's team will be the Goslings. I did not choose the names. David tossed jerseys to each kid. We're going to start with a quick practice, then we'll have our game. Everyone take a ball out of the box. David set a box of basketballs down on the ground, and each player took one. Skylar's team went to one side of the court, and Finley's team went to the other. They warmed up by shooting the basketballs from a few feet away from the hoop. None of them were very good, but it didn't really matter. At the end of recess, Anne stood up from the bench and yelled, "Okay, I need Caleb, Finley, Matthew, Jake, Max, Jesse, Ava, Sophie, Dash, Connor, Alexis, and Will to line up with Jen." The 12 were lined up by Jen and were led through the community center. They ended up in the theater. "You guys all signed up for drama club, correct?" Jen sat them down in front of the first row of seats and they all nodded. "Well, you guys are going to be performing Silly Jack to the audience on Friday. You guys will stay after school for the next 3 days and we'll practice our parts. You'll need to practice on a little bit because the production of Silly Jack that the community center put on was yesterday, so we could only get the space today. I'm going to read out what parts you guys have. Will, you'll be playing Silly Jack. Ava will be Jack's mother. Caleb, you're the farmer. Matthew's the dairy farmer. Jesse's the cheesemaker. Max is the baker. Jake is the butcher. Connor is the merchant. Finley is donkey number 1. Alexis is donkey number 2. Sophie is the daughter. And Dash will be the rich man. I'm going to hand out scripts and we will start practicing." After about a half hour, their practice was well underway. Will had already fallen into his role as Silly Jack, and Sophie had already gotten her part down. Finley and Alexis were enjoying being the donkeys and galloped all over the stage. "Okay, action!" yelled Jen. Will skipped across the stage to where Matthew stood by Alexis, who was dressed as a cow. "I'm Jack," said Will. Sophie, who was narrating the scene, read from her script about how Jack spent the day working for the dairy farmer. Then she said, "At the end of the day, the dairy farmer told Jack not to come back since he'd done a horrible job and gave him a jug of milk." Matthew handed Will a jug of milk. Jack remembered what his mother had said, but he could not fit the jug in his pocket. He thought maybe he could just put the milk in his pocket. Will pretended to pour the milk into his pocket. He set the jug down and skipped across the stage to where Ava was standing. Ava pinched her nose as if there was a bad smell in the room. Jack, she said, I know you can learn. You should have put the jar on your head and carried it home like that. Yes, Mother, I'll try. Will hung his head and walked off the stage. And cut, said Jen. That was great. The drama club returned to class about an hour before school ended. Finley ran into her classroom and sat at her seat. David handed out a paper that they were filling out and she wrote her name on it. When Anne's students returned to her class, they discovered she was handing out a math quiz. They all groaned and sat in their seats to take the quiz. Matthew answered several multiplication and division problems before doing several rounding questions. He answered a few word problems and then took his quiz up to the front and handed it to Anne, where she graded it. Once everyone had finished their quizzes, they went to the gym. Anne had to grade the quizzes, so she unlocked the equipment storage room and let the students play with the sports equipment. Matthew and Will threw a football back and forth. Soon enough, it was time to go back to the classroom. They sat at their seats, and Anne passed back the quiz. There was 20 out of 20, 100% written at the top of Matthew's paper. Okay, said Anne, I would like to discuss exams with you guys. At the end of the week, we'll have an exam. Exams will be held Friday afternoon, and the end of the week exam will be 30% of your final grade, so I do want you guys to try. We will be split into two testing rooms. You will have an hour and a half to complete the exams, but I doubt it'll take you that long. It's not very hard, as this is not real school. We don't have to give you guys real exams. After that, we'll have outside time to end the week. We will have our performance Friday evening. Any student interested in the art club should come to the art room today at 5 o'clock and have a ride here at 6:30. If you're interested in the drama club, well, you had to sign up about a week ago. And if you are in the drama club, you need to be practicing. You also need to practice your band music. And would you guys like to go outside early? There was a clamor of yeses! And they ran to get into a line. And made sure they were in a straight line and being very quiet. And then they walked down the hallways out and outside onto the playground. Matthew and some of his friends decided that they would turn the playground into an obstacle course. You had to do the monkey bars, then climb the stairs backwards. You would slide down the banister of another set of stairs, and then jump over a railing and run up the slide. Then you would jump onto the flying fox and zip down to the end, where Clayton was waiting with a timer. They ranked each other on a piece of paper, and Jack was the fastest. Probably because he was the heaviest and could go fast on the flying fox. After they had played together for a while, David's class came out and Anne blew her whistle and they all came to sit on the concrete slab by the gate. You may have noticed, said David, that we have been doing everything early today, starting with lunch. This was on purpose because we need to get to work on our projects. I'm going to read off the groups and what they will be doing their projects on. Matthew was in a group with Jake, Isabel, and Dash, and they were doing their project on the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. They were supposed to do research in the community center's library or their computer lab for the last half hour of the day. They'd be graded on their project, but since the community center school wasn't a real school, they weren't really that worried. Matthew and his group mainly wanted to do a good job because their presentations would be shown at the parents' night on Friday. Matthew was excited for Parents' Night, when he would be able to show off what he had learned during the week. He was also really excited to be in the play that the drama club was putting on. He also was excited about the academic competition with his class. He really wanted his team to take home the trophy. It wasn't a very impressive trophy. It was cheap and plasticky and from the Dollar Tree, but Matthew still wanted to win it. Finley's group was studying caravels, a type of ship from the Age of Exploration. Finley, Clayton, and Ava read through the 5 pages about caravels in one of the community center library's books on the ships from a long time ago. After they had spent half an hour doing research and it was 3:50 and time to head home, they put on their backpacks, grabbed their instruments, and went outside. The car riders gone to their cars and headed home telling their parents all about their days. The walkers headed out, and then the bus riders left. Then it was just the drama club, ready to rehearse their play. Jen led them inside into the auditorium, where Finley and Alexis gone to their costumes for the first little bit. They were still reading off of their scripts, but weren't relying on them as much. Jen said they would go script-free tomorrow. At the end of rehearsal on Thursday, they would have their first full run-through, and then they would have a dress rehearsal at Friday practice. At 4:45, Jen led them to the late bus, and they headed home, happy from their third day at the Bryson School.